Hello and welcome to Very Excellent Habits, the podcast that helps you create little habits for a big life. I'm Carly Jacobs, writer and mostly sensible habit maker. I begin today by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which I record today and pay my respects to their elders past and present. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. So I've been thinking a lot quite recently about the mental load, the whole thing, how it unfairly targets women, how no matter how hard we try to have equal partnerships, it just never seems to work out that way. It's just that ever elusive work-life balance struggle. So this week I have Michelle Broadbent, business strategist, who is an expert in work-life balance on the show. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me, Carly.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's so lovely to chat to you. So I like to start each episode with a recommendation, and mine this week is the show Dope Sick on Disney, and it is like easily the best show I have watched in years. So it's about the OxyContin crisis in America and the pharma company that lied about how addictive the drug was. And it's just a fantastic show and you just get sucked right into that world. And I'm now a total expert in medical marketing and Purdue Pharma. So if anyone needs to know anything about the Sackles, I'm your gal. So highly recommend that. What is your recommendation this week?
Well, actually, Carly, I'm staying on the Disney train as well, but yeah, at the very opposite end of the spectrum to you. My girls and I, so I've got an 11-year-old girl and a 15-year-old girl, and we watched a beautiful Disney animation called Turning Red, and it's a Pixar, so it's along that sort of same vibe as Inside Out, and it's the first thing that I've seen in forever that just beautifully captures what it is like for girls to grow up. It's very, very quick overview, but it's basically about a little girl who is kind of helicopter parented by her mum, and she's growing up and she's trying to break free and become her own person. And when she experiences big emotions, she turns into a red panda, and it is just the coolest. I mean, obviously Disney Pixar animation is like excellent, but the storyline is utterly gorgeous. And I highly, highly recommend that for, I think particularly mums of girls, but I think even your little girl would just love, I mean, obviously she's not going to get the storyline, but
she does have lots of big emotions though, in case you were wondering.
Yes, and you know three. What? That's as a mother of two girls, there are a lot of big emotions, and it normalizes it, and relationships with mums and stuff. It's beautiful. So yes, highly, highly recommend that one.
Oh, that sounds perfect. We're always looking for new things to watch because we're currently watching Encanto on repeat.
Oh, well, that's
it's lovely.
Yes, but I think that this is the good, if you are Encantoed out, try Turning Red.
Perfect. We will add that to our repertoire. So I have you on the show today to talk about delegating and outsourcing. So why do you think both of those things are so incredibly important?
So many reasons. But look, it's so important. I think particularly for us as women, because we do take on the lion's share of everything in all aspects of our lives, and we are burning ourselves out by doing this. And I think, I see this a lot with the women that I work with, but I just think women in general, we have this propensity to take on so much responsibility, and there's this illusion that I guess living in a digital world that things should be easier and we can just, do things so much easier and more efficiently because there's an app to do that, and why don't you just order your groceries online, and that's delegate. It's like that's just one thing. So I think I see this so much where women are just limping to the finish line at the end of each day, at the end of every week, and at the end of last year, oh my God, like who finished the year feeling shipshape and shiny? I don't think single person did. And it's no way to live. It really isn't. But I think the people that, seemingly have have their shit together are the ones that actually don't do it all themselves. It's not true. It's a fallacy. Anyone that you look to who seems to have the balance happening, it's actually because they have delegated and outsourced and just said no to so many things.
It's also really interesting. I was talking about this the other day, how our work life is so different to those of our parents because there was no way for them to be contacted outside of work hours because email didn't exist. They had way more staff to do way less work because a lot of work has been replaced by, you know, computers and automation and that type of thing. So there are less humans involved in each aspect of doing work for like a big company, but it's just adding to the mental load because all of the stuff, it's so, I read something the other day about how the ABC, a comparative of the ABC's staff from the 60s compared to now, and it is shocking how little staff they have compared to the 60s. They have more shows. They've got
more channels.
Yep. They've got, and there's just like something like 20% of the staff doing all of that stuff. And they're going, oh yeah, but you know, you've got email, you've got all of this automation, but you've still got people in charge that are staying in control of all of this stuff because that needs a human touch and a human interaction in order to be able to manage all of the stuff that keeps going on. Like you can't, a computer is not going to remember a thing that needs doing. You have to tell it to remember the thing that it needs to do. So yeah, yes.
It absolutely is. And you know what, Carly, something that you said about it at like our parents' generation and like what was going in the 60s, I would love to know the stats on the gender balance of those staffing numbers in the 60s because back then, you know, most of our mums didn't even work, right?
Exactly,
so most of the women, their job was, you know, home CEO of the home, but they would never call themselves that, domestic duties. So these dudes were going off and doing their job as one of many in a department, and everything at home was being taken care of by somebody else. It wasn't the woman that was, there were women that were trailblazing and doing incredible things back in that time and paving the way for, you know, and setting examples for women like us. But the stats will show that, you know, most of them were at home looking after all of us kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And that actually changes the way that women can contribute to the workplace because we are trying to aim for more equality, but we don't have a full-time parent at home to pick up all of the slack. So you end up trying to do both. And even if you have a partner who is an equal partner, you still have to find ways to figure out who's doing what because you can't have your whole brain in parenting and your whole brain in work, but you need to talk to your partner about what it is that they're going to take on. Otherwise, you know, your kid doesn't end up with a new hat that fits them at the beginning of the term thought someone else was taking care of it.
Because someone else was meant to be taking care of it, exactly. And it is, it's this mental load that is causing so much overwhelm. It's like because they've got to think of all the things that need to be done in their work or in their business and manage their household. And, you know, that is counting on the fact that there is a partner who is that heavily involved and who is that engaged. But sadly, a lot of the women that I'm talking to, they've also got the battle of trying to get the buy-in from their partner that, you know, what they do is important, you know, them building their businesses and their careers and that sort of thing. Because, you know, I hear all too often, it's like, oh, well, you know, it'd just be easier if you, you know, if you were taking care of things at home so that I can do my thing. There's so many things that they're kind of fighting against.
It's also really difficult because you've got to consider single parents as well, and the majority of single parents are women, and it's not even a matter of trying to get your partner on board with sharing household duties. If you are a single mum, you just have to do both, and there's not really any other way around it. So, you know, other than delegating, obviously.
That's correct. That's right. Yeah, getting help. And look, that I have to say, you know, as a single mum myself, that has been an area where I've really had to work on because, you know, I'm, you know, like you, like so many of the listeners, it's like we're capable women. We can do anything. We can, but we don't have to do everything. And when we do everything, that's when it comes at a cost. And I have seen, you know, just in building my business, but also, you know, running my household, it's like when I have gotten to the place where I have been able to get help or cut corners. You know, it's like we don't have to, you know, big thing for me is meal prep, right? And actually going, you know what? The kids don't care that this is not a made from scratch sauce on their stir fry that takes me longer to cook than it takes them to eat. You know, it's that sort of cutting ourselves a little bit of slack. So, it's a bit of a mind shift.
There's a meme I love, and I hope it'll translate, but it's like one of those little tweets from someone, and it says, I hate how people are like, oh, here's a quick, easy idea for dinner, and they start chopping up an onion. I'm like, that just speaks to me. I'm like, don't, if it includes an onion, it's not quick and easy. I'm not doing that. Don't make me chop up an onion.
No, because then my mascara is running all over my face because I'm crying and, you know, I can't touch anything and then my hands stink of onion for like half an hour afterwards. So, yeah, no, it's...
Exactly. I'm like, don't be coming at me with your onion. So technically you work with businesses, but do you have any statistics or scary facts about the ramifications of trying to do it all without asking for help? Because as you know, the listeners of this show love a statistic.
Yes. Look, you know, this, I think... talking as we touched on earlier about the burnout thing, and I know that there are listeners here that are based outside of Australia, but you and I are based here in Australia, and we have the very, very not something we should be proud of title of being one of the most burnt out nations in the world. We're 6% above the global average, but even like, so we're sitting at around 77% of us who have suffered from burnout. Now, even that, like, you know, being 6%, like, it's okay, 71% is the global average. That is just way, way, way too high. It's nothing to be proud of. And this is a direct result of us just taking on too much. There was a survey that was commissioned by Asana, which is a project management system. And it showed that the amount of extra work that people are taking on has doubled. So not just like we've taken on extra work and then doubled it, which is just crazy. Like, so there's 50% of it, us, that have done that. So it's not just the bare minimum that we're doing too much of, it's the extra work. We're doubled that extra work, which I just think is crazy, crazy. And like I said, nothing to be proud of, but that is a result of just taking on more, putting more and more and more on our plate because of the reasons that you talked about earlier. You know, the fact that there are just, you know, there's less people, there's, you know, there's so much. We were living in lockdown, so it's like, what am I going to do? Let's just chuck a bit of more work on me and I'll keep going. And let's see.
Distract myself with work.
I know, but let's see how much more you can pile on me before I just, collapse.
So what's the first place that you think people who are feeling burnt out should delegate or outsource?
I'll talk from a professional standpoint first. So, you know, within your work, if you're running a business or whatever, the first place that I always look to help people outsource or delegate is tasks that are outside your zone of genius. Know thyself. I think so many of us, like I said earlier, we're very, very capable and we can do anything we put our minds to, but it doesn't mean that we need to. And I so often where people become overwhelmed is they feel like they should be doing all of these things in their lives, in their work. It's like those tasks, actually, they're not the best ones to be doing that. So it's like, what are you doing in your business and your life that is just way outside of your zone of genius? And also the things that you just, that don't give you joy. And yes, I know, you know, we're all grown ups and we can't just outsource absolutely everything. It'd be nice if we could, but there are a lot of people just, I think, you know, really just pushing poo up a hill a lot of the time in what they're doing in their work. And it's terrible because that's what's leading to this, you know, this overwhelm and the burnout. And then it's costing them. It's, you know, they're missing opportunities. They're missing out on potential revenue. If they're building a business and they're spending time doing all of these tasks that are out of their zone of genius and wasting that time that they could be spending doing like revenue generating work, it's costing them. So I always say, look for the things that you can potentially pay someone less than what it's costing you in time and potential opportunity to be doing the job yourself. And it could be stuff within your professional world, but it could also be the household stuff, which is what we touched on earlier, right? So in order for you to, you know, do your job well or build your business, it may be a matter of getting help at home to free up some of your, you know, the mental and physical load of the things that you do at home that, you know, you can get someone else to take care of. I think there's a real stigma around that still, you know, getting nannies, getting cleaners, I've got business buddies who outsource their laundry, right? And for some people, it's like, oh my God, that's so indulgent. But you know what? It costs them $20 a bag. $20 for someone they put their laundry on the front porch, someone comes and picks it up and drops it back the next day, washed, folded, and ready to put away. Like $20. These are women that, you know, their daily rate is like in the thousands of dollars. So where is the point of them if it's not something, you know, they don't enjoy it? It's not so, you know, I don't mind washing. I actually quite like the whole laundry process, but I don't like cooking that much. I don't like cleaning that much. So, you know, my dream has always been, you know, when I'm, you know, mega wealthy and, you know, living in my mansion somewhere, I'm going to have a cook. Like that's my thing, but I'll probably always keep doing my own washing. So it's, you know, whatever works for you.
Yeah, and it's also really important to think very carefully about the things that you are automatically dismissing. So we get our groceries delivered, and it took me a long time to be okay with having groceries delivered because, I don't know, I had that whole stigma thing of how lazy am I? I can't even do my own grocery shopping. But we get it delivered, and it depends. Sometimes it's $5, sometimes it's $15. And I've got a friend of mine who is like, oh, I'm not paying $15 to have my groceries delivered. But by the time you drive to the shop and do the shop and put it in your car and come home and unpack it, you've spent well more than $15 on your petrol, on your time, on your energy. And, you know, if you want to do it, that's totally fine. But if you actually like look at the dollar per hour and look at the energy expenditure, it's not any more expensive to actually get it delivered to your home. And also particularly like we got used to doing it during COVID because it was safer to have groceries delivered to your home. So yeah, it's just really important to think about those things. And like we have a cleaner, we've had a cleaner for 10 years and I still feel very weird about admitting that we have a cleaner, and I'm just like, we shouldn't, because you know our hourly rate is higher than that. We don't like cleaning, and if we don't have a cleaner, we end up just not doing it and living in squalor.
Living in squalor, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So we might as well just get a cleaner, get over it, and not be embarrassed about it. And I do understand that you know there is a level of privilege in that, and not everyone can actually afford a cleaner, but if there is something that you can afford, like a $5 delivery fee, then absolutely do it and try to kick that guilt to the curb.
Absolutely. And you know what, Carly, I think there's something else in that too. Like you might spend $5 or $15 on a delivery fee, but I think what, you know, doing things like online grocery shopping, you can go through with a fine-tooth comb exactly what you are buying. You can edit your cart and, you know, bring it in, especially if you're sticking to a budget. I would challenge anyone who goes to the supermarket, you know, how often would you throw in $5 or $15 worth of extra stuff because it's winking at you at the end of the aisle. It's like, oh, look, there's all the Easter eggs. Oh, maybe we should get some now. And then, you know, you eat the Easter eggs and before Easter and they're gone. Like it's just, you know, whereas if you're ordering online, you are just getting what you have picked. So it's a prevention tactic as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because you can't impulse buy when you're online. So like on that topic, what tips do you have for people who are so deeply ingrained in their habits that they have to do it all? So what can people like that do to let go of control?
Yeah, look, I think the key is to start small. So don't feel like, you know, you've heard this conversation today, I'm going to go in and overhaul my entire life and I'm going to delegate and outsource everything, especially if you are someone who likes to keep the control. Start really small. Figure out what, you know, even one thing, one part of one thing. So, you know, it could be doing an online grocery shop and go, you know what, I'm just going to do it once a month. And the other ones I'll go to the supermarket and do, right? So just, it's like getting used to it. It's like anything. It's like, you know, just training that muscle. If it's from a professional point of view, the other thing that I suggest people do, because you can't argue with data, and that is to do like a time task tracker. If you are feeling every single day, if you are getting to the end of the day, you're never getting anywhere near through your to-do list, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you are exhausted at the end of every week, if you are working all through the weekends and, you know, you're living this lifestyle that is just not sustainable, track what you are doing with your time, because that is a real eye-opener of an exercise. And there are many, many ways that you can do this. You know, you can do it really basically by just, you know, writing down the start and stop time of every single thing that you do throughout your day, from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed at night. But there are apps that you can use to do it. But the idea is that you're getting the true picture of how you are spending your time. And that can be a real shock to a lot of people when they see that thing that they think only takes them a couple of minutes. Oh, you know, the grocery shop, for example. Oh, you know, it takes me 20 minutes to whip around Coles, and, you know, then I'm back in the car and it's like, oh, hold on a second. Let's, you know, you're stopping whatever it is that you're doing, getting in the car, driving there, finding a parking spot, going into Coles, chatting to a few people. Like, it's never a 20-minute exercise. So, but actually seeing the data there in front of you is really, really powerful. And then, you know, it's almost like going through that and going, okay, if I could buy back all of that time, look at what the potential is for my life if I had 8 hours back in my week or 10 hours back in my week or whatever it is to be doing those tasks that you just shouldn't be doing. So that's a really powerful exercise to do. But I think, yeah, it's just about starting small as well. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, but, you know, getting confidence in the person potentially that you're outsourcing or delegating to, and also the process, and accepting too that maybe sometimes, you know, it does take a little bit of work, particularly if you're delegating to people and the person doesn't necessarily turn out to be a right fit, because I see that happen a lot. People do it once and they go, nah, that didn't work, didn't like that person, they didn't work out or whatever, and then they just go, well, that's a stupid idea and I'm never going to do it. When it's like, you just got to keep trying and find that right person.
There's also like delegating in ways. There's some a few things that we've done in the last couple of years that has just been life changing. So 10 years ago, we bought our first robot vacuum. We bought a Roomba, and yes, we were well before our time, because we hate vacuuming. We're not floor people. Ben doesn't
we're
mind
not
it.
Floor people.
No, I hate it. I've always hated it. And so we bought a Roomba like easily a decade ago, and then he lasted for ages. And we just recently bought a Robo Rock, I think they're called. Anyway, we've had one for years, and I cannot tell you how many people I have tried to get robot vacuums, and they go, oh, I don't know, they're kind of expensive, and it's a real investment, but they're like, oh, you know, they're kind of expensive, I don't know if they do a good enough job, blah blah blah. And then slowly over the years, as they've slowly become slightly more affordable, a bit more accessible, a bit smarter and a bit better, a lot of people have bought them. And no joke, there is not a single person I know that has bought a robot vacuum that has regretted it. They're incredible. You just send them out in the morning, they do a vacuum, it's all good. We get our cleaner once a week and then they do a better vacuum. I have not vacuumed a floor in 10 years, and I cannot tell you how much that delights me.
See, and that's, I give you a medal for that. That's awesome. I love that.
Hi, it's Carly, just popping in to remind you to leave a review for the podcast if you haven't already. If you have a guest or a topic you'd like me to cover, just leave a review and let me know. Thank you so much. Back to the show.
So what are some main red flags that you see in people that really need to get to delegate? So like, what are the warning signs that you would see in your potential clients, for example?
Yeah, it's, look, it comes back to that overwhelm, that loss of joy, I would have to say, is the really frightening one. It's never subtle. This is the thing. It's like, usually they have, by the time they get to me, they have fallen out of love with their business. And that's very sad to see. So they've just lost the joy because everything just feels so hard because they're doing all of this stuff. You know, I work with some incredibly clever women, but they are, you know, they're good at their craft, but then they're doing all the other stuff that comes with running a business, running a household, being a good partner, being a good daughter, being a good mum, you know, all the different hats that they wear, and it's too much. And so what often happens is that they start missing opportunities, and it could be business opportunities, but it could, worse still, it's often personal stuff. So, you know, I'm working so hard, I missed my, you know, child's birthday or friend's, you know, 50th or whatever the case may be. And often, you know, when we sort of do a little bit of forensics on things, you know, they become a big roadblock in their business as well. So things aren't moving forward because everything's hinging on them. So their wheels are just spinning and, you know, everything is compromised. So yeah, they're the big thing. And they, you know, they are big. It's never small, you know. It's always,
yeah, the loss of joy really hit me hard because, yeah, I think like in the last couple of years, a lot of people have just been in survival mode because they haven't had any of the things that do bring them joy, like travel and family and parties and, you know, all
the
of
the circuit breakers as well.
Exactly.
They're missing. And it's been all work and no play. And it's,
exactly. Yeah. Particularly if you have kids, it's just been, you know, you're just kind of working or parenting and there's no real way for a break, particularly when, you know, we lost childcare and things like that. And I think that's been quite difficult for people to recover from. Can we talk a little bit about rest and the guilt that we feel over it? And I know this is a huge issue for a lot of people, even if they get to the stage of delegating and freeing up some time, actually using that time to rest just seems almost impossible. So do you have any ideas around that?
Yeah, look, I've got a lot to say around this because obviously I see these, you know, burnt out women who are just, you know, go without a rest. And I think, again, like it's the other pandemic, you know, and it was happening before COVID hit. So I think it's just like, you know, this cluster of pain. And, you know, there is this feeling about that we need to just fill our time, you know, fill all the gaps in our schedule. What are we if we're not busy? But like, we can be busy, but it's not like we're necessarily productive. Okay. And I think, again, women are very bad at this, but, you know, I do see men who suffer the same thing. It's like, we wait until we are bone tired before we stop. And usually it's like we're completely burnt out.
It's just too late by then.
It's too late. So, you know, you're a mum, I'm a mum. Look at what we do with the kids. Like from right when they were babies, they have scheduled time to rest. It's part of their day. That's just what happens. It's like, we don't let them get out of their brains with tiredness because we know what the ramifications are. So we need to treat ourselves like we treat our kids. And I'm not saying that we need to have 3 sleeps a day. Well, that would be nice, but it would be lovely. But we need to do this as adults. So we need to schedule the time for rest. And I know that sounds very kind of counterproductive, but it's like everything in our lives, if it doesn't get scheduled, if we don't put importance on it, like we put the importance on, you know, our kids' dance class, you know, getting them there on time, or the work that we're delivering for a client, like we prioritize that, but we tend to neglect ourselves. So look at it from, like, you know, a big picture perspective. Have you scheduled in annual leave this year? Have you scheduled in your holidays? And when you do have a holiday, are you taking a proper break? Because we need, and, you know, we touched on this earlier about the circuit breakers. Like, we haven't been traveling over the last couple of years. We've been trapped inside our homes. Like, there's been nothing to kind of break that monotony. Well, now we can. So I'm not saying that we all need to jump on an aeroplane and fly somewhere, but actually scheduling in the breaks rather than trying to squeeze it in when the boss taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, you've got 3 weeks of unused annual leave and it's becoming a liability to the company, so you need to use it. And then they make, you know, there are businesses that make their staff, which is good, you know, it's like, make their staff take it, but it's usually at an inopportune time. Like, put yourself in the driver's seat of when you have your rest and actually pick the time in the year that's going to work for you and take a proper break. And then, you know, looking at it on a more micro level, because, you know, it's good to have something to look forward to, but we also need to take care of ourselves on a, like, weekly and daily basis. So having proper downtime during the week, you know, using the weekend time to recharge rather than just flinging from one kid's sporting activity to a social activity and, you know, oh my God, it's 6 o'clock on Sunday and there's no food, bread, nothing for lunches for this week, and, you know, and this you're exhausted at the end of the weekend. So it's like making sure that you put some time aside in your weekend to actually have a break. And then on the daily basis as well, it's just prioritizing sleep. I do know why we don't. It's just, you know, it's just this thing that we, and maybe it is like pushback from when we were kids and our parents did make us go to bed. I don't know, but it's like, oh, I'm an adult, I can stay up all night long. But that doesn't work. And believe me, you know, the older you get, the more you value sleep. So, you know, using tech to, you know, work in your favor, get your iPhone to tell you to go to bed if you need that. But I think it's really important to prioritize sleep.
Yeah, I'd love to look back on how sleep was affected kind of, you know, back in the 60s and when you didn't have access to all the information all of the time. I imagine people just went to bed earlier because they were bored, because, you know, the book that they were reading wasn't very good and they didn't have any other options. All the four channels that were on TV were boring and there wasn't anything to watch. Like, what else are you going to do? Read one of the other 4,000 books that's in your house that's been there? Yeah, I just actually think, like, I mean, I'm not anti-internet, obviously, but I do think it is a bit interesting looking at, you know, maybe looking at our sleep habits in comparison to a time when you didn't have, you know, endless entertainment at your fingertips and how that's actually affecting us.
And also just how we lived our lives back then too, Carly. Like, you know, you think of the things that keep us awake now, like, you know, you call it like the 3 a.m. thoughts, the things that wake us up in the middle of the night and you lie there staring at the ceiling, worrying about things. I don't know, like, I'm sort of coming at this from quite an idealistic point of view, but I wonder if women had carried all of that mental load, the worries that we carry now, back then. The other thing is too, is that they would have been exhausted from all the housework that they had to do all day, every day.
Convenient appliances.
So, yep. And not, you know, you think less women drove back then and, you know, they were walking, you know, walking to the shops and carrying their groceries back with them because, you know, hubby, if there was a car, hubby took it to work with him. Like, you know, I mean, that's, again, I'm sort of going a bit Brady Bunch here, but that was how it was back then, and it is very different now. So it's almost like we don't get physically exhausted before we get into bed.
And we get mentally exhausted, which doesn't help.
So, yeah, but I am not a sleep expert, but I do find the subject of it absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, me too. And I also think that, you know, we have access to more information about things than we ever have before. And there's more things to worry about. Like pre-internet, you would hear about conflicts in other countries via the newspaper, but you wouldn't get these kind of like hourly updates about things that are happening. And then there's more things that I have access to now, you know, like racial inequality wasn't a huge thing on my radar when I was young because, you know, I am a privileged white woman and it wasn't something that was really discussed very much. And now that we have access to, you know, Instagram and, you know, all of the, you know, giving marginalized people more of a voice, which is obviously fantastic, but then you're just like, whoa, there's all this stuff that you weren't even considering before. And now you have to worry about all of this other stuff as well that just wasn't even on your radar, you know, when you didn't have access to it and it wasn't affecting your day-to-day life.
Yep, absolutely. It's just, yeah, that information overload, the information coming in to us is, I mean, I know one of my clients, Dr. Christy Goodwin, talks about this a lot, and she loves a stat, and she talks a lot about the volume. It's like it's literally kilometers of of content that we are scrolling through each day that is going into our brains, which no wonder we can't switch off at the end of the day.
And back in the day, it used to end. Remember when Facebook first existed and Instagram, you could actually reach the end of your feed and it was all the stuff that it was done. And then they just kind of extended it and made it endless. And it's like, it's just literally endless now. There's no stop. There's no end.
There's
you
no
can't
stop.
Finish reading Instagram or Facebook Mm-mm. anymore.
No, 24-hour news cycle. It's just, listening to, you know, if we want to, we can listen to the morning news in the UK while we're having our dinner. Like it's not good.
Yeah, it's wonderful and also horrifying.
Yeah. But we need to, like, it's not going to stop, you know, like that it's not going to stop feeding us. We have to put scaffolding around us in order to, you know, to protect ourselves. And that's our responsibility as the grown-ups, you know, as the boss of us, we need to be the ones to take charge of that and how we nurture ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the things, I've mentioned it quite a lot on the podcast, but I don't have Instagram on my phone anymore. Like I will occasionally download it. And like if I've got an episode of the podcast coming up, I'll do that on the computer or on an iPad, mm-hmm. but I try not to have it on my phone. It's made such a big difference. And it's interesting watching people not be able to make that step. But honestly, it's one of the healthiest things I've done. It's just so much better not having that option of just sitting down and scrolling all the time. I have BorrowBox on my phone now, so I'll sit down and read a book instead on my phone, which is so good.
Yeah. See, I love a hard copy book. Like that's my respite, you know, like it's like, no, my books, people are like, why don't you get a Kindle? Why don't you read on it? And I'm just like, nope, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have the physical book because, it's just one less screen that I'm looking at during the day.
Yeah,
when
definitely.
I look at enough.
I actually have all three. I do hardcover books and I also have my Kindle and I also have BorrowBox. But BorrowBox is just more of a, like, if I'm sitting in the car and Ben's running into Bunnings and I've got 10 minutes – and I didn't bring my book with me, then I've got, then I've got the BorrowBox right there with, you know, whatever book I'm reading, which is just so much more healthy than news or Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. So do you have the same book that you've borrowed from the library? Like, do you just have like a different book on each device?
I have it different. So you can have an audio version where you can read it online and then you can pick up the audio from where you left off from reading. I can't do that. My brain doesn't work like that. But I know a lot of people are really into the double whammy where you can kind of be like reading it in bed at night and then you listen to it on the way to work or whatever the next day. I'm sure that works for some people. That's a bit messy.
I was going to say, like, then I'd be like, okay, what page was I up to? And now I have to
Well, no,
forward
it, it,
and
it, Yeah, it will mark it for you. So like Audible has like a thing where it will just pick up where you stopped reading last time. But yeah, that doesn't really mesh well with me.
That's pretty high tech, isn't it?
Yeah, keep it categorized. Can we cap off the episode with three quick and dirty tips for maintaining a good work-life balance?
Yes. Well, you just touched on one that I was going to say, and that is about just removing the apps that are, you know, stripping you of you know, sucking up your time and distractions. And if you don't want to remove the app, it's at least at the very minimum, remove the notifications so that you're not being pinged every time someone sends you a DM on Instagram. The other thing that I do personally, which works wonders, is I do not have work emails on my phone. So the only way that I can deal with my inbox is when I'm literally sat in front of my computer and I actually schedule that time throughout the day. So I'm not tethered to that, and, you know, because that's very much like a reactive space. So I don't have that on my phone. The other thing is to have like a startup and a pack down routine at the beginning and end of every day. And this, I think, was really, really important for me when we were in lockdown. But as you know, as someone who works for themselves, who often works from home, work can just bleed into every aspect of life if I let it. And you know, I know that you guys have got the same issue. It's like you could work all the time, you know, children permitting, but there's no line in the sand. So again, coming back to us being the grown-ups, we have to put one in. And I find that having those transition activities, so an actual, you know, how do I start my day and how do I pack down? So how do I wrap up the day? You know, writing my to-do list for the next day, you know, physically closing my laptop and putting it out of sight. Those things really, really help. And then the final one is just defining what done is for you, because it would be too idealistic to say aim for inbox zero, aim for everything to be crossed off your to-do list, and you know that's a measure of success. It's like that's not real. And so establishing what done is for you, and it's obviously that's going to be different for everyone, but again, it's putting you in the driver's seat. It's like, okay, you know, where is this line in the sand for me, so that I can feel like I can step away and be in, and wherever you are, be all there. That's like I know that's more than three, but that's a mantra of mine. It's like, if I'm working, I'm working. If I'm parenting, I'm parenting. If I'm with my girlfriends, I'm doing that. Like, it's just really try to be wherever you are 100%.
Yeah, I love that, and I completely agree. I try to do the same thing as well, and parenting, like, really, I do the same thing with my inbox. I don't have it on my phone. I've only got it in the office, and I can only access it in the office, which is fantastic, because if we're out for the weekend, I can't check my emails, and I shouldn't, because, you know, I'm out with my family, enjoying my family, and I'm not going to reply to an email anyway, so what's the point in checking it?
Exactly, and all it does is that it takes you back into that space. You know, I've got, you know, I do have clients that will email me over the weekend, but they know that it's not going to get read until Monday, because, you know, if I do, for whatever reason, if I end up seeing my inbox over the weekend, then it's like my mind starts to go into what it is that they need from me. And that is essentially just them, you know, crossing a task off their to-do list, really, by sending me something. So it's like, okay, that doesn't warrant me having to jump in and deal with that at that time. They're just and for that, you know, in that instance, in the reverse, I always use the email scheduling function in my emails as well, so that even if I opt to do some work, you know, maybe at nighttime or on the weekend for whatever reason, I will always use the email scheduling function so that my emails don't land in someone's inbox at, you know, 9:30 at night or 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon when they're at footy with the kids or whatever.
That is so thoughtful. What a lovely thing to do.
Well, I just, yeah, it's the thoughtful thing because I don't want people to receive it at an inopportune time. But the other thing is too, Carly, I don't want people to write straight back to me.
you don't want the reply at 11 p.m. on Saturday.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Well, those are excellent tips. Thank you so much. And I like to finish the show on a little segment called Kick My Ass and Kicked Ass, where we both share something we struggled with and also something that we rocked at. So what kicked my ass this week was that we all got gastro, all of us, and then I got stung by a bee and my foot swelled up and it has just been painful for days. I took a photo of it. If anyone needs to see it, let me know and I will send it to you. But my toe got so swollen that it wasn't touching the ground when I walked because it was so, it swelled up so badly, went all up my foot. And now I'm a bit worried. Like, I didn't have an anaphylactic reaction by any means, but if that had have been anywhere near my vital organs, it might not have ended well. So I think next time I get stung by a bee, I'm going to have to really concentrate and make sure I don't end up with a closed airway.
Yeah, and Dr. Michelle here, I mean, I'm no doctor, but like, has it gone down? Like, is it?
It has now. Well, I mean, okay. I've still got a bit of a swollen toe, but I can actually walk again now and I might be able to go for a walk. But it's now Monday and this happened on Thursday. I actually just didn't realize that you could be so debilitated by, because I haven't been stung by a bee since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize how bad it was, but it actually stung me underneath my toe. So like I kind of stood on it. It flew into my shoe and I stood on it. It was awful. It was just like, yeah, guys, just try really hard to not get stung
not
by a bee.
Not get stung by a bee.
It was dreadful.
And it was definitely a bee. It wasn't some other crazier stinging
creature. it was definitely a bee. I killed it and my 3-year-old was horrified, but I was like, well, he's half dead anyway and also he's a jerk
and so's mummy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, because we live in Beechworth, right? Well, we live near Beechworth and it's Beechworth honey, so we like, you just get, bees are like little mini gods around here and we protect the bees and they're, you know, part of our ecological infrastructure and, you know, you protect the bees. But I was like, I need to kill this one for two reasons. It's humane and also I need revenge, so just let me have this one. So what kicked your ass this week?
Oh my God! Well, on the medical route, I suppose, on this keeping with the theme. So we're in isolation, so that is absolutely kicking my ass. My daughter, my eldest daughter, has COVID, and she's actually very sick with it. So, it has been running like wildfire through. She's at high school, and it's not ideal. So obviously there's the worry with her. And then I've got my other daughter who really suffered when we were in lockdowns last year. Like she just, you know, she really, really struggled with the isolation. So we're back there again. So, you know, it's like just, yeah, keeping her anxiety at bay and keeping her occupied as well. That's the other thing, because she's well, she's, you know, she's kind of cooped up with not a lot to do, and you know,
and then you don't want one of you catching it now and then restarting the clock again. Like that's our biggest fear of getting it, is like we want to all get it at the same time and be done in 7 days.
Yeah, and this is the thing. So we are actually like, I'm not isolating Ruby at all, because it's like, well, if we're gonna get it, let's get it now, let's get it before the holiday, like, you know, all of that sort of thing. So yeah, it's a struggle. It's kicking my ass, as the name on the segment suggests.
So my kicked ass this week is that my Apple Watch has been very rude and has been telling me that I was exercising 40 minutes a day this time last year. Now I'm down to like 25 minutes. And so I'm working really hard to get a proper walk in every day. And I was doing very well until I got gastro and then got stung by the bee. But I'm going to get back into it now that I am well and that my toe has deflated enough so that I can actually walk without falling over. So yeah, that's my kicked ass this week. What's yours?
That's good. Oh, so mine is, so this is before we went into ISO, but speaking of, you know, having those circuit breakers, I realized that I had nothing on the horizon to break the circuit. And so I have booked myself away a little retreat for a few days. But, you know, this is me taking my own advice about resting before I wear myself out. So I'm actually doing it, just just for a few days before the school holidays start. And, you know, I've got a holiday fund that I just have like a direct deposit that's been going into for years, and that's very, very chunky at the moment.
Very motivating.
Because I haven't gone anywhere. So yeah. It's like, oh, there's money in there. So yeah, so I have booked that, and I'm like, it's just so nice to have something to look forward to.
Oh, that's perfect. I love that. I think everyone should do that if they have the means, not necessarily the time. You should make the time.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely do that if that's available to you. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It was lovely to chat to you.
Thank you for having me, Carly. It's been awesome.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening to Very Excellent Habits, the podcast that helps you create little habits for a big life. I'm Carly Jacobs. You can find me on Instagram at Very Excellent Habits. You can also email me contact@carlyjacobs.com. You can also record a question for me to answer on the show at speakpipe.com/Very Excellent Habits. If you have a topic you desperately want covered, please leave a voice memo at speakpipe.com/Very Excellent Habits. For all the resources that you hear about on the show, you can grab them at patreon.com/Very Excellent Habits. And one more thing, please leave a rating and a review. It is the best way to help other people find the podcast. Here's the latest review that someone left for the show. I started to really look forward to catching up with you on Wednesdays, both on the podcast and online. I love how relevant your podcast is to people in all different areas of life, from stay-at-home parents, professionals, and entrepreneurs. I loved the Rescue Remedy episode. It's the salve for the soul we all needed. Thank you so much, Miss Petite. The review absolutely made my day. Until next time, remember, little